Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have a very special guest, Amber Toro. Amber, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for coming on. Like I said before we got recording, I had seen your books and socials and things, and then I saw that Herman Stuerningle had you on his podcast, The Greatest Podcast in the Multiverse, and I loved that interview. So he was like, "You got to get Amber." I'm like, "She's on my list." So I was so excited that, we could get you on for this season, and chit chat about, your books, your writing experience, and just kind of have a good time chatting about writing. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And we'll actually start right there with that first question. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Okay. a broad question. So I have the one book out. It's Umbra, and that came out this year, 2024. I started actually dedicating time to it and writing it. I want to say it was about 2 years ago. Before that, as a kid, I always loved stories. I loved writing stories and reading stories. But then, you grow up and you have a career and you have kids and things get busy. So I didn't really start writing again until my dad passed away suddenly of a heart attack. And I thought about what did I want to do before I went? And I had wanted to write this story. So that's when I started actually making time for it and decided that I wanted to publish it.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. I'm sorry to hear that, by the way. I do definitely know that feeling though, in terms of like, when something jars you like that and you're kind of like thinking about that. I had a my own health scare actually, a few years ago, and that really like kind of set me, down. I'm like, what do I really want to do before I'm done here, whatever you want to, call it. So yeah, I definitely get that. That definitely is. I do find that it's a pretty good motivating factor, right? Like thinking like, I want words to be left, that I've crafted, or stories, that kind of thing. So yeah, I totally understand that one. And I'm just curious, in terms of genre or genres, which ones do you currently write in and why?
So I write in sci-fi and fantasy. Umbra is a space opera. So while it's sci-fi, it's set in space with sentient starships, and they're not lightsabers, but they are like some pretty cool like handheld weapons. It's very much reads like it reads like fantasy, right? It's more concerned about the quest and the characters because that's what I care about in a story. And I also write fantasy. That right now is YA. My kids are 10 and almost 13, so I
Wow.
kind of have a audience for that. So
That's cool.
I've written one novelette for my daughter. That one, the character she very much identifies with, it was written for her. And I have a novel that I just finished writing for my son. It's set in the same world, but it's his character. So
Oh, that's
they're
cool.
just fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. I was talking to Michael R. Fletcher about that a while back, like him and his daughter like kind of co-authored some stuff. So I think that's really cool anytime you can do that. I do agree with you. Fantasy and sci-fi, or the mixture of Star Wars, I still think is just, and even Dune too, I think is a great blend of those elements. But I think that's really cool. I'm just curious though, in terms of these, we'll talk about Umbra, but in terms of these other books for your kids, have you published those then? Was that what totally blanking.
So the
Was
novelette
that
I have
Fragments of
out.
Perfection? Sorry, I found words again. Here we go.
So that one, that's the one I wrote for my daughter. It was published with an indie anthology last fall. It's,
Oh, cool.
available now just on its own because that's concluded. But yeah, I had that opportunity to write a story with a bunch of other indie authors. And I was like, what do I want to write? I want to write this story for my daughter. So,
Oh, that's super cool. That's so awesome. I think that is what's so neat, right? About just being able to write what you want to write, is to be able to do things like that. But that's super cool. I'm very jealous. My son's about to be two, and I'm always like thinking, how do I get him like like Jim Butcher's son, you know? Like, how do I get him to enjoy these things? It's so funny. My wife texted me yesterday. She's like, he's reading in the back of the car, like all on his own, like reading. So hopefully we can get him there one day. But I think that's really cool. I'm just curious, do you have any more, like plans, within that universe? Any more books planned, for your kids or anything like that? So I just always think that's
Yeah,
interesting.
in that universe, I have four interconnected standalones planned, and
Ooh.
then I have a series concept. So we'll just kind of see where it
Yeah.
goes.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
awesome. Super cool. Yeah, I saw that when I was looking. I was just checking everybody's socials, things like that. Every once in a while, I like miss something. So, but I had missed Fragments of Perfection the first time. Because when you were on with Herman, I grabbed Umbra like as soon as I parked, pretty much. So I must have just like missed it on like Kindle or something like that. So I thought that that was really cool. So, in terms of Umbra though, if we could go back to that one, I love just that term, like title, like sentient stars, like that's just really cool. But I'm just curious about Umbra, Sentient Stars. Like, what is that one about? And how did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, that one is a far future spin on romanticy. It's set 10,000 years after humanity's left Earth in a time where pilots are bonded with their sentient starships for life. The 12 tribes of humanity stand on the brink of war, and there is a signal in the void that threatens to destroy everything. So it's very space opera. It's focused on three points of view, and while there is an overarching plot for the entire series, which is all laid out in Umbra, you won't find out how kind of everything comes together until later in the series. So I think a lot of people that have read Umbra very much lean into how character driven it is because the plot is a little bit more overarching. And then there is a story, of course, there's a story arc for Umbra as well, which is very much adventure and political intrigue, kind of that style.
Well, that's cool. I'm just curious where you kind of got that idea for like the sentience
Oh, yeah.
from, because I just think that was when I was listening to your guys's interview, I was like, oh my God, that's just so cool. And I
Yeah.
remember like seeing the like Jamie Foxx and whatever the guy's name was, and Jessica Biel, I think was in it, like the movie Stealth, where they had like an AI, like craft or whatever. But I don't know, I was just curious, like the sentience was really, really cool because I hadn't heard that before, so that was really neat. So I was just curious about that.
Oh, yeah. So the idea comes from my job. So I'm a data scientist. So I work with machine learning algorithms for work. And I was thinking about this concept of if we had fully autonomous AI, general artificial intelligence, what would that look like? And what would it look like if they were developed as individuals? This is a pretty common concept when you talk about general AI. The idea would be, of course, they can outperform us. So if you have them as individuals, they would probably be more good AI than bad. So that's how you prevent a situation like Skynet, right? So we would have. Yeah. So if you have one that goes rogue and it's kind of like humanity needs to be taken out, hopefully you have ones that would be on your side. So that's kind of a thought around how you would have a power balance in general artificial intelligence. And so I was thinking about what if they were developed as individuals and they wanted to live a life similar to their creators? So that's where I came up with this concept that they would bond with a human and spend their life with a human. And then when they die, they are then transmitted back to one great consciousness on Earth that was. So that was the actual original kind of core of the idea was around the starships and the artificial intelligence. And that's where the world started.
That's really cool. That's really neat. I'm just curious, like, are there other aspects of your job, that you are able to bring in terms of the world building, or, in terms of maybe some of the situations that, have arisen for your characters and some of the, their plot lines or the overall plot lines for the books? I'm just curious, if you, I know I do that all the time as a history teacher. That's like all I do, I feel like, when I write some, with societies or something like that. But I always find it
Yeah,
interesting that
definitely.
people are doing that. So.
Yeah, because it's more fun, right? If you can kind of weave that personal touch in, I think it makes it more real. My scientist character, Rohan Dhar, he's kind of like a love letter to my coworkers. He talks the way they do. He's very analytical. Sometimes he annoys the other characters because he'll go kind of like on his like his rants, right? And they're like, what's the point? And it's like, no, I mean, this is just like a scientific discussion, right? So yeah, he's kind of from my work. That's probably the only real piece. I know when I was writing the book, I did listen to, I think it was called IA or AI 2024, 2040. It was a really cool collection of short stories where you have a PhD from, I think he was from Yahoo Labs. He teamed up with a sci-fi writer. And so he took all of these concepts that are expected to mainline in the near future. And they wrote these short stories that kind of gave you the feel of if our world goes there.
That's cool.
So I listened to that while I was writing it to see if there were kind of any of these concepts that stuck out to me that I wanted to make sure that I incorporated. Things that I did include are things around deepfakes, things around like adversarial AI. So when we're trying to block the facial scanning DNA storage, because it's actually a really great storage system. So I did try and kind of incorporate, but they're all just kind of little pieces of the world building. They're not important, they're not like plot lines, but just things that I want it to feel real because these are, pieces of technology that exist now and, probably would exist in the future, although this is a very far future. But yeah.
That's really cool. Which kind of leads me to my next subset question, because I was thinking about this, just in terms of like your blurb and what the world would be like that far, in the future. I'm kind of curious that like, how did you take the current seeds, like those kind of things you're just talking about, but put them into, such a far-flung future?
Some of it, I mean, so as far as like, actually, I think something that was kind of fun with the deep fakes is when that concept comes up, it basically they're not familiar with them because they were banned, right? Because those
Oh, that's
are
cool.
very dangerous algorithms, right? And so in this context, I guess, of how kind of they've resurfaced and that is a technology that's been banned. So I know that's how I kind of, I guess, accounted for that
That's cool.
on that one. Yeah.
Oh, that's really neat. I just always find that interesting how, how authors do that personally, because it's like, again, that's something that I don't think many of us would think of, in terms of doing that, in terms of world building. But that makes total sense to me when you're saying that. I'm like, oh man, like why didn't I think of that? So I just think that's really cool. But I think that's a great example of you using something that right, which doesn't seem like it's super crazy, like super something that's really detailed or needs a lot of explanation, but I think it's cool to
Yeah.
be able to use things, right, like that are, my mom always said she's a graphic designer, KISS, right, keep it simple stupid. So I think that some, but like that's like the
Yeah.
coolest things come from that, and like I was reading like James Logan's The Silver Blood Promise, and there's some things where I was just like, and I interviewed him, like, why didn't I think of that? I'm like, it was such an interesting idea. It's right there in your face. And I think when, when you're able to apply it, like you're talking about, it ends up giving you something really, really cool, in terms of world building. So I always think it's really, I find that fascinating how people are able to do that, and in different ways. So I think that's really neat.
Yeah,
Sorry, I had to
I
write
like
down the book for.
Yeah,
That
it's
sounds like a
good.
really cool book, so I'm gonna check that one
It's
out.
really interesting. Yeah, you should definitely check it out. Yeah, I feel like especially with the tech for me, because it's space opera, it's not hard sci-fi. The tech is all based in it's based hopefully in reality. I listened actually another great book that I listened to for that one was Quantum Steampunk. And that one is quantum mechanics and it's explained with these steampunk characters. It's a really great
Oh,
like
that's cool.
introductory to quantum mechanics. And so my quantum technology is based like it's based on what I learned from that book. I am not, an astrophysicist or a quantum mechanic. So, but the technology, at least on kind of that high level of research I did, is possible, right? My ships are bio ships, so they have a nanite coral structure. They grow, they're repaired with algae cultures. And one of my beta readers is a biologist, and she loved it. She nerded out in the comments about like what algae could this be? Like how could this
That's
work?
awesome.
But like I just explained everything very simply, where if you don't care about that, right, you're just like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. The
Yeah.
ships grow and they're living. And I get it, right?
Super cool. That's awesome. I always loved the like the Yuuzhan Vong technology from Star Wars, where it was like, yeah, where they did that, but it was like they were like living organ. Like the armor they wore was actually like you thought they were like it was like crab shells, but it was actually like another organism that fused to their body. So I thought that was anything biological like that, I think is really, really neat. But that's really cool
Yeah.
to like what you're saying, like that's just really neat, I think, to think of like them being able to grow and bring in algae. I think it's really interesting too. I too have been researching some algae. I won't tell anybody why right now for a book. But it's funny that you
Yep.
mentioned that because I was just conferring with one of my colleagues, one of our science teachers. I'm like, could you really do it like this thing that I want to do, in the book this way? So I think that that is
Okay,
super
that's
cool.
cool.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away because it's like a thing,
Yeah.
but it's gonna be really cool. But my
I
friend
look
was like,
forward to hearing about
yeah,
it when you
he's like
share.
algae. Yeah, oh no, for it's like
Yeah.
algae. I was like, yeah, it's so to me, it's like fascinating. But that's super cool. I just think like a ship being able to grow, like I just think that. I don't know that the space opera fan in me is just like, I just got to read your book to figure out like how you did it, what's going on. Like when I heard you say that on Herman's podcast, I was like, that is just such a cool idea to me. And like sentient ship, like I said, like watching South, I'm like, okay, cool. But adding, like that kind of piece and then having it actually be able to grow, I think it takes the step beyond of anything that I've heard or seen. So I just think that's like super, super neat. So I'm definitely gonna have to check that book out too. I know everybody's looking at me in the on this. They're like, Dan has a huge reading list. I'm like, it's totally fine.
Yep.
But that's super cool. I'm curious, in terms of the ships themselves, and talking about the tech just for a minute there, in terms of the tech, did you kind of like map out like maybe like how the ships would look and like how they would grow, or did you kind of leave that kind of ambiguous, like for the reader at, I know some people do that on
Some yes,
purpose.
some no.
Okay.
Yeah. So as far as them growing, that is actually addressed a little bit more in Parallax, the sequel.
Oh, cool.
So you actually do learn a little bit more about that. So the idea being, because they bond with their pilots when like at birth, they start off as drones, right? So then they're just accompanying this little human, and then they do grow into something that's more like an ATV size, and they eventually grow to full ship size.
That's awesome.
And
That's so
yeah,
cool.
and I think and how big they grow is kind of dependent on their pilot, right? So Hinata, he's this guy right here. Like his ship is like a pretty small because well, reasons, but like his is like a star or starship size, right? So like probably like only like it doesn't take on a crew, right? So maybe like 2 to 4 seater, something like that. Skyla, the main character, has the biggest ship of them all because she did have a full crew before. Freya's ship is in the middle. So kind of this, and then Rohan's ship, she's pretty small, and they also have all their own personalities. So like, because Rohan is the scientist, like his ship is really into research and analysis and like assisting him. And then Skyla's ship, because Skyla's the ace pilot, they are, they're adventurers and they like to race and take risks. So the ships are different. I don't go into great deal describing what they look like, though. That is kind of left up to the reader.
Oh, that's cool. But I love the personalities even more though.
Yeah,
Just
that's what
I
I care about more,
yeah.
right? Is like, who are they? Because they're characters too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. That's such a cool way of sorry, my mind's raced right now as a writer. There's a couple things I think that are just neat there. Like you took the Firefly aspect, I think, with Serenity, where it does feel like a character, right? But then you actually make
Yeah.
characters even further,
Yeah.
which I think is so cool. It just super neat. So that is really, really interesting. It's almost like you took Pokemon, but instead of Pokemon, you made them ships, which is just super cool.
I love
But I love that you
that.
that take on the personality also, of like the pilots. I think that's really neat. I'm thinking myself like, am I more of a starship kind of person, or like do I have like a bigger ship? Like I don't know. That might be a cool
Yeah.
gamer Kickstarter or something for you.
That
That's
is like a fun quiz. There's a quiz right there,
yeah,
right?
there's something, right? There's gotta be
Yeah.
something there. Yeah, I think that that's
I
really
think you're
cool.
right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, take an AI generator, right? And you can just like generate, whatever, that personality or, whatever, like pick, sizes or something. Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I was just curious because it's just such an interesting concept that I think a lot of people would find interesting, I talked to several authors that were like, you just got to read the book. You just got to read the book. So I just always love when people tell me that because I'm just like, I'm going to read the book. I know people. I know they know what they know and they're smarter than me. They know my tastes. So I think that's really awesome. So that is excites me even more about the book and your series. So I think that's really neat. But in terms of kind of moving on there, in terms of like characters, can you just kind of give us a little bit of a peek into maybe who the character, I know you talked about him a little bit, but maybe just point out the characters for us again, and just kind of maybe a little bit more in, their personalities or, whatever you want to tell us about them that's non-spoilery.
So there's three points of view in Umbra. Skyla is probably the main character if you had to pick one. She was the easiest for me to write. She's probably the most similar to me, which is why she's pretty easy. She loves food. She's an ace pilot. She's kind of also a lone wolf, who ends up in this situation where she has to work with the others. And then Hinata is the male point of view, male main character. His tribe is Japanese descendant, so he comes from a very tribe-focused culture, right? Focus on the collective versus the self. He's very rule-following, and he, even though he is a master set or master tactician, like he's very good at what he does, he's been exiled to kind of the edge of the known galaxies for a failure that he hasn't been able to figure out what happened there. And that is where he runs into Skyla. And then Freya is kind of our anti-hero. She is a lot of people don't like her, at least in the beginning. But also if she's your type of character, she has people that like that's their favorite, right? She's like very angry, but she watches out for her people, and she does what it takes to win. And she's definitely not friends with the other characters, but they end up in a situation where they all have to work together.
Oh, that's cool. That's really
Yeah.
awesome. Oh, that's neat. So I just was curious because you just mentioned like tribes. In terms of society, is that would just be like his type of tribe or like his people are more tribal or do they all do tribes? I'm just kind of curious how
Yeah,
that's
good
the
question.
history teacher in me, right? How the
Yeah,
society
so
work
that's
out.
part of the lore. So there are 12 tribes of humanity. The way that I structure those tribes, there's like two that are really central to the story, right? There's a big universe outside of what's actually happening in Umbra. But Freya and Skyla are both from Stjarna tribe. They would have been descendants of the US space effort. And then Hinata's tribe is the Hoshiko tribe, which would have been descendants of the Japanese space effort. The way I selected the tribes was based on current space budgets. So I kind of went with this idea that, whichever countries are investing money right now in space would maybe be the ones that would be able to send out these ships when Earth collapses. So that's kind of the quick overview of the tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have to say, like, I love that you said that because I did something similar, which is like kind of a fun sci-fi thing that I'm doing. I love Firefly. But I had this like I love like their crew, but I was like, I want to do somebody that's like a veteran like Mal, but also like a miner. And instead of being like Mal's type of crew, they're like a crew of miners. So I was like researching more and more of our solar system. I was like, there's so much cool stuff you could do with that. And you would get into a lot of trouble, and I just think there's a lot of danger there, right? And then if you add aliens or something or warring factions like you have, I just think it'd be cool. But I was thinking about
Yeah.
that for the world building, right? Like who from, like who should the major groups be, right? In
Yeah.
terms of space. So I just think that's cool. I did something similar, but it was really interesting to look at the, I didn't look at the budgets. I just looked at like really like current capabilities. And I thought of if X, Y, and Z happens societally, right? Like who would be able to, continue to go to space and advance and stuff like that. So I
Yeah.
don't know. It's kind of interesting. We
I
both.
love that. Well, because I think that's a fun thing to do with sci-fi, right? Like, where are we right now and where could that go? So I love that. I think that's fun.
Well, I always loved the like in like Firefly and Serenity. I always loved that, like they, I'm gonna blank now. They spoke like Chinese, right? And they couldn't swear or whatever because it was like Fox or whatever on like prime time. But I always thought that was interesting, right? That they kind of went a different aspect, right? You would normally assume it's like the United States or whatever, but I always think that's kind of boring, So I do think it's interesting, like you said, to be able to, do that and kind of, like, right, and
I
just
loved their
it's a little
language
different.
blend. Yeah, that was,
Yeah, it was
you
cool.
see it a lot now, but I don't think you used to see it. I think that they kind of, I could be wrong, but I don't feel like you saw it a lot before Firefly. So I felt that that felt very fresh and very realistic. So I thought that was really fun. With my two central tribes, I originally basically wanted to start with two warrior cultures. So I went with the samurais and the Vikings.
How
So
could you go
that's
wrong with those two, right?
So the Sterna tribe, even though I then aligned them with the, like, they would have been descendants of like the US space effort, they have a Norse culture. So some of that is in some of the things they say are from Norse culture, and that's the way that I went with them.
Oh, it's really cool. I think that's awesome. I always loved like the Stargate SG-1 where like they like ran into like the, I'm sorry, people, spoilers, but it's been over well over 20 years. with like where the Norse gods came from kind of thing. And they, like, oh, these are like these aliens and like that kind of thing. So I always think that's really neat too to be able to do things like that. But that was like J.R. Weiss and I interviewed, I read his book, first book, like Terra Ascending. I thought he just did such a good job, kind of like did the Pierce Brown like Roman thing, but really made it his own. But it was interesting with how he took current politics and like switched them around too. So I just always think it's so interesting too. And he did something completely different that a lot of people have seen recently. So I just always think like science fiction in general, I think it's interesting to see the development, how people and like authors in particular, creatives develop society. If it has some sort of connection, to like our current Earth or, our own. But I liked like Firefly, like Earth that was, right? Like they mentioned it. You kind of hope later on if they kept going, they would have done something. But yeah, I always think it's super interesting to see how people are able to take that ancestry and, make something unique out of it. So that's really cool. And I love Vikings and samurai. So, I mean, can't go wrong there in my opinion. So, and I love to see that stuff in space even more. So, like space samurai are just like it just sounds amazing. I love, you ever see that TV show Dark Matter? It's kind of like how the
It's
corporate
been recommended to me, though.
oh man, like see, so seasons 1 through 3 in particular were so good. The writing was amazing, but how they do their corporations was so interesting. And one of them was like a like a shogunate type of like corporation, and one of the characters was one of my favorites, was like a space samurai. Like it was like really, really interesting. But yeah, highly recommend that one. It was really good. The last season was horrible, so you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, the other three were really good. No, but that's just really cool. I love seeing how people are able to, set up those kind of things. And just kind of take us on a really fun adventure. That's why we love space opera, in my opinion, right? You get the
Yeah,
things we
me
know, and
too. Yep.
it's just really cool. That's awesome. I do want to just go back to that fourth question though. In terms of your book, Fragments of Perfection, because I just think that's such a neat idea. Just kind of curious, you told us how you came to writing it, but do you mind just telling us what that story was about and just kind of how you came up with, maybe the idea for the characters or that storyline?
Yeah. So that one was for a fall fantasy anthology. So the requirement was that it be fall setting and
The
fantasy.
perfect cover, by the way. Perfect cover for fall.
So for that one, I decided I wanted to write it for my daughter. And so I took this character. The main character is Ophelia, and she's just wrapping up high school, basically. She's done her exams and she puts a lot of pressure on herself, to do the right thing, say the right thing, be perfect. She's in competition with the other central character, Anna, for valedictorian. And they do not like each other. And
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
yeah, it's a definitely an academic rivals to reluctant allies story.
That's cool.
So Ophelia ends up getting this pendant that it's a ends up being a magical pendant that fractures her soul. And if she can't repair it by the end of the Autumntide Festival, she will be fractured forever. And that is the one subject that is Anna's specialty. So she has to work with Anna to figure out how to reverse what's happened.
Wow, how did you come up with that idea? That's amazing.
Don't
Just like, wow.
I don't know.
Like, cool.
Anyway, it was just, I think I just, well, one, it was the story kind of goes through the several days of the Autumn Festival. I wanted to represent different kind of autumn traditions. So there's moon cakes and there's kind of representation of Day of the Dead and there's the Lantern Festival. So because it was fall themed, they just kind of go through a bunch of these different fall days, like of celebrations, which was just kind of fun to write. And then I just
Yeah.
wanted an adventure, right? Like I want them to. Because it's for, I wrote it for a 12-year-old. I want it to be just this fun adventure where they learn, where through the adventure, Ophelia learns that she needs to accept herself, flaws and all. So.
That's awesome. What a great theme, by the way, for that age group, for really any age group. God, I wish I could get some of my kids here to realize that. I just had a conversation with a student earlier. I was like, you're brilliant. Just be brilliant. Like, just be you and be brilliant. Like, just, I was like, you have more going for you than you think. So I think that's the great message to send to any kid, but especially one of your own. So that's really
I
cool.
know my daughter, when she read it, she cried. She was like, she's me.
So awesome. That's amazing. That's so cool. I just love that. Like, just like, that's such a cool idea, because I think that, especially with the time frame and the story that you laid out for us, I think that's a really interesting I think that's a really interesting story for the age group in particular. That's like a fun adventure to be thrust upon, not to go on, right, but to be thrust upon you. But that's, I think that's another theme, right? Is like, I just had a conversation with a kid the other day where I was like, I just feel like stuff's just being thrown at me. And I think that that's a good one, right? And I started thinking about that, in terms of different, like T.A. Barron. I was just talking with Marisa and Casey yesterday about this, like the Seven Songs of Merlin. I loved books like that, where there was somebody around my age for the middle grade or young adult, and there's, life just thrusts upon them, an issue or a problem, and they have to solve it. Because I think that, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, I think I had a little bit more resilience because I was reading a lot of, characters in those circumstances, and I saw that they were able, right, to get through it, or how they got through it, and was able to learn something, from that process. Because you do lack the experience, right? And I think that being able to read and get those experiences is really cool. But to have your mom write that book to show a connection, I think is really awesome. So jealous there. So I think that's really cool, and just a really.
Well, your time's coming,
Yeah.
so.
I'm like, what problem do I throw at my kid? Do I throw a bunch of ogres or fracture his soul? One of those is gonna happen. I know for sure. But I was like thinking about I'm reading like Jeffrey Haskell's like Full Metal Superhero, and I love his main character. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to do a superhero thing. It's like a young adult thing, at some point. So I think that's why I liked like Spider-Man so much. I think that's why a lot of people like, a lot of those types of superheroes. I think like Miss Marvel, like the newer one where she's younger, or even like the new Hawkeye, like his apprentice. I think that's just kind of, that's like Young Justice League too, right? I think that's like the age group really needs that. Like, here are the heroes, but it's like, how do you become a hero? Like, how do you overcome, those kind of aspects? So to me, that's kind of just been interesting me lately more, is writing things for, not just PG-13 adults or, something like that. So I think that's really neat. But yeah, what a cool idea. And like I said, what a cool thing to do for your kids. So I think that's really neat. In terms of writing unique characters, it sounds like you have some great ones. What do you focus on the most and why?
Oh, sorry. I got kicked
It's okay.
out for a second.
Oh, that's so weird. Right on par for the week. At least I'll let you back. I was just saying, I was it just sound to me, it just sounded like you have really interesting characters. So I was just kind of really interested, and I was thinking about this yesterday as I was going through for both books for the blurbs. I'm curious that, in terms of writing unique characters, like what do you really focus on the most and why?
A good question. I feel it's like different for everyone, right? So for Umbra, Skyla was a lot like me. And I think it's because that's where I started and it was my first book, and that was easy. Freya, the other one of the other POV characters, she is, while she is kind of also turned into her whole own thing, like her kernel where she started from is she was based on a couple of my friends. Some women that have gone through some really terrible things, that have made them also though very strong and very competitive and also maybe a little angry. So that was kind of where I based her on. And then Hinata really grew with the story. So I knew the place that he had to take in the story. And once I wrote it, I was that's what how I actually kind of discovered his backstory and what made him who he was. So for Fragments of Perfection, Ophelia is really very much based on my daughter. Again, like it's more like they're, I'll be clear, it's more like they're a kernel, like they're an inspiration. They then become like their own person. And then her rival was really meant to just be, I think, kind of the opposite. Like what would, what would clash? What would a different person be, in contrast? So I guess it could either be that they kind of start from somebody I know, or they just are who they need to be for the story, and I kind of figure it out along the way. Like, there's two side characters in Umbra that didn't exist in the first draft that people love. Like, they've asked for like a spinoff for them, and
Oh, that's cool.
they totally grew from the story. And I've started actually writing a novella for them because I one day just realized their whole backstory, and I was like, that's really sad. But it's why they are the way they are. So it just depends. Some of them, this story really tells you who they are, I guess. But otherwise, yeah, you just start with a spark.
But I totally agree, and I like how you said, like, it is different, and I think that's I see some people, and they I think they think that's a bad thing, but I see that as a good thing personally, because I think then you get a more realistic characters that way, right? Like, you don't want to do cookie cutter every time. I think even seeds, right? Like, are different than, as you keep going. I had a friend where he would try and write all his characters very similarly, and eventually they all were very similar, and then working them out in terms of the story really didn't work. He didn't have a Han and a Luke and a Leia. He had a Han and a Han and a Han, or a Leia, 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 Leia. Actually, a Leia, Leia, Leia might be cooler.
That
I don't know. Yeah. Well, she's a different character. I always, we were just talking about her the other day on here. I was like, she's totally different. She's just like her own character and just awesome from the start, and just gets cooler. But yeah, and I just said to him, I was like, you might want to just like kind of think about it, and I agree with you. I'll go with like a kernel of an idea or somebody I know or something, and I don't know, pull that Frankenstein, right, and just kind of do whatever. And I do think the story does, change. I had two characters tell me in a third draft that we're not in this story, and I'm like, to hell you're not, to hell you're not, like you're in this story, much like a parent, like get your homework done. They did not listen, so I realized, you know what, they're right. I had these two they're the like these two characters are here, they're like, we're in this story. I'm like, I'm not writing that story. I'm like, I didn't want to write that story. I have to write that story too. But it did help. I asked my friend, I said, I took a break from that one, I said, I got to redo this stuff. I said, the characters are telling me that they're this and they're that, those two in particular. And my friend, I told him of what the changes were that they told me, and he goes, God, that sounds so much better. And I'm like, you're supposed to be my best friend, you're supposed to be on my side. He goes, but they're right. And I definitely think, that he goes, well, you shouldn't have written, these drafts the way you did, because now it's changed. And now the characters have to change, right? And that I agree with them. Like, they did have to change. And I'm in the process still of changing a bunch of things for that story for them, to kind of develop. But I do agree that I think the story ends up, really shaping that. So I'm gonna have to go back and quote you on that though, Amber. We're gonna have to sell that or something, like who they need to be in the story. Like that's just a like such a great quote right there. But I definitely agree with it. I think that's totally true. That's really cool. Yeah, it's neat. Got a lot of kernels of good stuff here, Amber, on a Friday when we're both tired and exhausted and parents, Like it's, I always tell people, like you can always plan for stuff, but it's either you get the good stuff or you don't in a day. So we're on the right
We'll
track.
just see what happens.
And I'm just curious, like in terms of world building, in terms of these two books and worlds just in general, like so now I'm really interested because you're talking about characters and how you create them was a great, interesting response. So no pressure or anything, Amber. But when it comes to world building, for these two different stories, what did you really focus on first and why?
So for Umbra, the ships, right? The artificial intelligence and the ships, and what would this type of world look like? That's where the ideas for the tribes came from and the
Oh, cool.
conflict and the actual like overarching plot. All of that stemmed back to the ships, right? That's pretty central to the world building and this, yeah, and the tribal culture. I think a lot of the other things just kind of come to you as you're writing. Yeah, I think so. And then for Ballads of Bamond is what I call that world. That's where Fragments of Perfection is set, and that's where my YA fantasy novel that I wrote for my son is set. And that one, so the setting for that, because it was a fall fantasy and I wanted to incorporate all these different cultural elements of fall festivals. That I guess that was what inspired the world building. So it is an alpine town and it's laid out like a spoke, and there are like sectors for each of the people. And it was originally a refugee town. So all of these different peoples came to this refuge after this great war, and it's a long time after it at this point, but that's why there's all these different cultural influences.
Oh, that's cool.
And there are bits of magic, but the all of the magic wielding peoples have disappeared. So there's only bits of magic in the world. It's a gaslamp fantasy. But yeah, all of that I guess stemmed from that I wanted to include these different cultural elements.
That's super cool. That's really neat. I love you had me at Gaslamp Fantasy. Like I do. I had a friend the other day. They go, I have, well, I have this, and he goes, well, I have this Gaslamp Fantasy. I was like, sold. He goes, I didn't even. I it doesn't matter. It's like I just I love them. Like I love them, and everybody does them in a different way that takes different things, and it's just such a cool subgenre, in my opinion,
Yeah.
because there's just so much. It's like it. I think it's the same. With like cozy fantasy, like I love what people are doing, when like SF Roll, like Steven's like doing stuff, and then there's other people, it's just such a cool, they're both, I think, just so interesting because you just get such a variety and a mix. So
Yeah.
to me, it's really neat. That's really cool. I think that I just love how you said though that like the magic like wielders like aren't around now. So to me, it like I love anything. Within that bracket that you have that like mystery aspect of like where'd they go, why aren't they here, like that kind of thing. So I think that's just it just immediately pulls me into the world because it's a question that I need answered, right? So I need to answer it in order, I need to read the book in order to answer it, so that pulls me in like right away as a reader. So I think that's really neat. And I just want to go back in terms of talking about, with Umbra and starting with the sentient ships, I just want to point that out to our audience because I think sometimes, people think that they have to have everything else done first. That iceberg theory, I think, and save the cat's great and all, or whatever. But like, I think at a certain point, it's like sometimes those types of restrictions, are restricting. So I like how you went with such a cool idea and then, kind of went from there because I think a lot of people, might have a neat idea like that, or concept of an idea like a kernel, they're not really sure how to expand on it within the world. So I do think more and more authors like yourself who I've had on say, like, expand that idea first, and then the rest, will kind of come from there. So I think that's just great advice, just personally, but that's really cool. In terms of just to go back, because I totally forgot to ask this, because I have to say, I absolutely love Umbra's cover. So I just have to know, where did that cover come from? Because it's definitely one of my favorite ones I've seen this year. So I just got to know the backstory on that one. So.
That is, I have a very talented cover designer.
Yeah.
So David, is just very good. 'Cause I did not really give him a lot to work with. So like he has this big form and I don't know, I just wrote like stuff from the book, like themes. I was like, I like the stylized Dune covers. I like the Red Rising covers. Like I like that kind of stylized, that style, I guess, could,
Okay.
and I originally was just like, oh yeah, I don't know, like sci-fi colors like purple or teal or whatever, right? That's what you normally see.
Yeah.
So all that to say that he came up with like all of that. So he came back to me and he had this black and gold cover and he had added like he had that border which was kind of this cross between it's kind of techie and it's kind of romantic,
Yeah.
because that was one of the important things I asked for, is that it is kind of cross genre, right? It is like romanticize, and you hear it a lot with the reviews now too. People where people are like, "You're always marketing it like a romance, but it's not really a romance." And it's like, it's because it's a romanticy, right? It's romanticize. It's like it has the plot line of a fantasy or of a space opera, but there is like a strong romantic subplot. And so that was something that I asked for in the cover, right? I'm like, represent this, and I think he did a really
Yeah.
good job.
Yeah, he like knocked it out the
Yeah.
park.
Yeah.
And it was so, I just want to ask that because I did find it interesting. And if you are listening or watch this podcast, you got to make sure you go down in the description and check out Umbra's cover and the blurb. I just was like blown away when I saw it. Like I remember specifically because I was scrolling TikTok and I saw your cover first. And I'm sure that, like you popped up with a video or something, and then had it, but I was probably doing something with my son. I just looked back at my phone. I'm like, what is this book? And I loved it, the cover, and it drew me in like instantly. I'm like, it was just so cool. Yeah. And it like hooked me. I was like, okay, follow, save. And I was like, I have to go back to this later. And that's when I believe I found you on Amazon shortly after that. And I was like, I can't lose this book. Or this author. So I followed right away. I do recommend that for our audience too, in case you're like me and you're really busy. Like, just it's kind of nice with the following feature on Amazon. I don't lose people that way. But yeah, I just thought that was like one of the coolest covers I've seen, particularly this year. But also, within your like genre. But I thought that was so cool though when I saw you on with Herman and you were, explaining more about the book and everything. And I went back to the cover. And I'm just thinking like, it's a perfect cover, in my opinion, to represent, what the book is about. And I just thought that was just really well done. So I think it's a really great example for people to follow if, you're, I have had people where they're like, oh, my reviews aren't quite there. And I was worried about that for my own novella cover coming out. I'm like, and I ask people, I'm like, what do you think? They're like, oh, I think it's a military fantasy. And I'm like, it's urban fantasy. So we had to add some, some different elements in there. To ensure that we were given the right advertising, but I feel like yours does a really good job of that. So I thought that was really cool. Did he also do your other cover as well? Because I thought that one was like really, really well done as well.
So that cover, the characters, I don't know why I always just remember my artist's first names, but Abigail, she does actually children's illustrations. I found her on Instagram, and so she did those characters are Fragments of Perfection. I also have the characters for my son's book, but only him and me have seen them so far because I haven't put those ones out. But yeah, so she's a children's illustrator, and then I just put those like on a background in Canva because again, that story was really just for the anthology, so it didn't need a cover initially. And then I was like, oh, I better do something for it. So
That's cool. Oh no, it's awesome, because when I saw that one, I was like, oh, this is really neat. Like, so yeah, I was just curious. I love the characters on there in particular, but I was originally gonna be an illustrator like years ago, and I just my mom's a graphic designer, like she has taught graphic design and stuff, and now she's an interior designer. So I just really love the color scheme there. I thought it worked really, really well. And it was really cool. So I thought that was really neat. And then I really gotta know, I'm sorry to make you choose your favorite child, so to speak. But if you could join one fantasy or sci-fi cast on an adventure, which one would it be and why?
Okay, so I had like an answer in mind before we started this, but I mean, you keep referencing Firefly, which makes me like kind of want to change my answer.
It's fine. You can do two.
Originally, honestly, like I would love to go on an adventure like with the cast of Red Rising with Sebro. Basically, I'd like to be Victra.
It's a
Victra's
good
my
one.
favorite.
Oh, awesome character.
So yeah, I really like Sevro and Victra's dynamic. I think he's hilarious, and I think that would be a very violent, fun time.
Better bring a
but
change of clothes,
yeah,
right?
but yeah, perhaps the cozier answer would be joining Mal's crew on Firefly. Like now that you brought it up, but yeah.
The girls yesterday incepted that into me. I'm so sorry. Because they mentioned it a few times, and then I'm like, I got this like alien crew, I don't know, like two humans and then like four aliens. They make up like a coalition of defense force for us, and I was just like, oh, like they were just talking about a few things. So then I had dreams about it. So I think like Mal is on my mind in particular right now. But But what a great answer. My best friend, I was like, hey, I want you to read Red Rising. I met Pierce years ago, like right when it came out. And it was so funny. Like he was just such a cool guy. And I was so happy to see like all of his success. But my best friend, I go, I really want you to read this. I just read Red Rising and I'm starting book two. And the next thing I knew, he's like, where are you? I was like, oh, they plus I was like, for some reason, I must have borrowed book two, and then they took it back. So I only got like 40% of the way through. So I had like waiting to buy and stuff. And literally it had to have been maybe 2.5 weeks went by. And I asked my friend, I go, do you finish Red Rising? He goes, I'm done with the series. Like it was totally his thing. He just like blew through it. So I'm gonna have to tell him that that was your answer, because he's just gonna be like, yes, somebody else that's on the side. So I think that's really awesome. But yeah, like I love both of those characters. I thought like Sevro was just like one of the coolest characters to me. And very similar to Mal, like it just like kind of blew me away, in terms of really thinking about how I write characters and the characters I like to read or watch, and I don't know, just a really, really cool influence on me lately. So
Yeah.
I think that's a great answer, but I'll take Mal too at any point. So I think that's really cool. I know we're winding down on time, Amber, so I just want to make sure, that we have enough time to talk about any, of your current project news updates, anything like that you can share with us.
So I have two projects that I guess they're fully drafted, and so those are moving forward. The one that actually has a release date on the calendar is Parallax, which is the sequel to Umbra. I'm going through beta feedback right now. It's going to my editor January 2nd. So that one is coming, especially after the ending of Umbra. I know people are ready for that one.
I have heard that, Amber. I have heard that from a couple people.
So you can, if you don't want the cliffhanger, just skip the epilogue and everything wraps up nicely. So yeah, that one's coming. And then my YA fantasy, that one is fully drafted. So as soon as I get Parallax over to my editor, I will be editing that one. But that one, because I'm focused on the Ascension Star series, I'm not sure when it's coming yet.
That's awesome. I failed to mention that Umbra is on my 2025 reading list. So I will be putting out that video literally next week. Like I have to record next week. It'll be out by January 1st. So I will send that to you. I actually have you in the first chunk. So like the first 20. I think I'm trying to do 40 just to start. So I'm doing like 2020. So if anybody by now, when this has released, in 2025 wants to go back, you know, and take a look, just to take a look at that. And I also have reviewed that Umbra as well. So that video will also be down in the description for both of those. So if you guys could check out those links, and take a look at Umbra, and tell us what you think. That's really exciting though, that you're there for book two. I was curious about that. I'm one of those people where it's like, I have so much to read. It's like 2 years ago by, I don't even know. And I'm like, oh, Amber's next book is out. For me, it's like a blink of an eye. So I kind of miss the days where R.A. Salvatore, I'm like, oh, when's the next Dritz book coming out? And now I have like 18 to read, which is also kind of a fun problem to have. But that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Amber. I really appreciate it. When I had heard, you know, Herman asks such different questions than I do, and I just love that about listening to different people's podcasts, because I think that it just gives me such a cool glimpse into, you know, just what an author or creative is doing, and why. So I always love talking also to somebody if I can now. It's my new thing. It's kind of like I get the director's cut ahead of time, and then once I'm reading, I just get so much more out of it as a, you know, as a writer and a reader. And especially as a reader, I'm like, oh, this is what Amber was talking about. Like, this is what, you know, she meant. So it's really, really fun for me to be able to do that, particularly after I interview people. So I really look forward to reading Umbra and, you know, and reviewing it. And just, I'm sure I'll be looking forward to book two like everybody else. So I know that for a fact, based off my friend group. But I just want to remind everybody to check out Amber's books, everything. Book and social links will be in the description, so please check that out anywhere you're watching or listening to this podcast. Please make sure that you're reviewing her and everybody else's products that have been on here. It's just so, so important. You know, Amber's talked about cover artists, there's editors, there's so many people involved in everybody's processes, that come onto the show, and are in within our community. So we just want to make sure we're helping them out as best as possible. And as somebody that tries to swim against that algorithm, I feel like I'm on a hurricane most of the time. So if we could help them out, that would just be terrific. Amber, if there's anything else I can do in the meantime, I have my podcast group. Feel free. I can send you the link, if you're on Facebook. I have my podcast website, if on the blog, if there's anything, you know, that you want put out there, particularly for book two, you know, you just let me know. If there's anything I can do, I will always throw stuff up onto social media for you. I'll be telling people that we have this interview and what the release date is, you know, and to be on the lookout for book two. But other than that, if there's anything else I can do at all for you, please just let me know. But other than that, you know, good luck with everything. And, you know, I really look forward, like I said, to reading Umbra, reviewing it, and joining your universe. I'm really excited to see your characters and crew, and, you know, just see how you do everything. So I'm really excited to take that journey. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was fun. And I hope you
Yeah.
enjoy it when you get to
I have a
it.
feeling. I have a feeling, because I have a particular set of crew where I'm like, who should I be reading? Who should I be interviewing at this point? And they have not let me down. So, and I know based off of our conversation and your answer using Pierce Brown, I know that, you know, I'm sure I'll enjoy it and have a good time, and be ready for book two by then. But Amber, thank you so much. Good luck with everything. But other than that, hope you have a good rest of the day, my friend, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
See ya.